Jornovix is finally in the wild. Touted as an opioid replacement, this drug hit the market this year, the first new type of non-opioid pain medication to be approved by the FDA in 20 years. Most media coverage of Jornovix has been extremely positive. The New Yorker, quote, "Scientists working in pain research describe the underlying scientific achievement as a magisterial first step, just marvelous, and the holy grail." Okay, technically that was scientists being positive, not the media, but the media has definitely harmonized with their enthusiasm in a big way. I do not love that New Yorker article because it reads like a poetic press release. The Salamander's take is more cynical, of course. That is how the Salamander earns his kibble here. The Salamander is me, of course. I'm Paul Ingram, and this is the PainSci Updates podcast. It's September 26, 2025, and it's a cool early fall day in Vancouver for my 22nd wedding anniversary. I am quite late with the next members-only post, the third and final part of my series about why it's so hard to get help for chronic pain. Back in part two, I very, very foolishly predicted that the third part would probably be out by late August, but I self-deprecatingly admitted it might be more like mid-September. And now it's September 26th, and still no part three, because reasons. And now it's my anniversary, and I'm taking the weekend off, and this post was more or less ready to go, so that's what you're getting today. And when I get back to work next week, that part three will finally be at the top of the to-do list. Meanwhile, let's do the Jornovix update. So let's look at some of the less good news about Jornovix now that it's actually being prescribed. First, some review. Why would anyone call this the holy grail of analgesia? Jornovix makes peripheral nerves less trigger happy. The generic name of this drug is suzetrigine, branded as Jornovix by the manufacturer Vertex Pharmaceuticals. It's a peripheral nerve channel blocker, the result of many years of research into the mind-bogglingly complex mechanistic details of how nerves work. This was a very long journey. Michelle Ma for the Works in Progress newsletter, quote, "Vertex chose to keep funding and pushing forward through decades of work that industry professionals describe as, quote, tedious, mind-numbing, and painstaking, a slog driven by slow incremental progress and frequent setbacks. In exchange, humanity now has its first non-opioid painkiller." Actually, there are other non-opioid painkillers. Aside from that odd distortion, which even made it into the title, "The First Non-Opioid Painkiller," that is a really great article about Jornovix, probably the best I've seen, and well worth reading after mine if you're keen on the topic. The point of this drug is to block pain at the source by reducing the sensitivity of peripheral nerves to nociception. Nociception is the transduction of damage or danger into nerve impulses, and not quite equivalent to pain, although any large dose of nociception almost inevitably does lead to pain. Jornovix raises the threshold at which nociception can occur. More specifically, it makes peripheral nerve cells less sensitive by clogging their NaV1.8 sodium channels. This means that the drug can't be addictive because it doesn't tinker with the brain. No reward physiology. And there's no tolerance or dependence either because those sodium channels don't adapt in a clinically significant way to the drug. So it doesn't change how you work, and therefore there are no withdrawal symptoms to endure. And it works well enough to have gotten approved. Yahtzee! This all sounds great, and in some ways it is, of course. But theory, meet reality, Jornovix and its cousins just don't work as well as they should. The principle makes a sodium channel blocker seem like a slam dunk. How could it disappoint? But disappoint it does. The principle is clearly not a free pass to perfect pain relief. For instance, a closely related candidate drug in Vertex's pipeline, VX-993, very recently failed its phase 2 trial. But Jornovix had some subtle special sauce that enabled it to stumble across the finish line that VX-993 couldn't even reach, despite the fact that they're practically the same thing. Kind of makes you wonder. I mean, what was the difference? something due to pharmacokinetics, insufficient selectivity, or maybe they just tested VX-993 badly somehow. Mistakes do happen. Despite being good enough for approval, the efficacy data for Jornovix is underwhelming. Only high doses were even modestly effective and still could not actually beat weak opioids for acute pain. Jornovix's approval was based on its ability to do more than a placebo, of course, but its pain-relieving power was similar to that of hydrocodone, which is more potent than codeine, but much less than oxycodone, morphine, etc. So that's not exactly an opioid replacement. That doesn't mean that Jornovix is useless, of course. Being roughly as effective, being more potent than codeine is kind of a big deal. If you can't get relief from your garden variety painkillers for a nasty acute pain, then Jornovix is now there for you as a next step up. Being more effective than codeine is great, and maybe as effective as hydrocodone and less problematic. That is certainly something to celebrate. But chronic pain patients are definitely not celebrating the arrival of Jornovix. Importantly, Jornovix got approval for acute pain only, not chronic pain, which would have been very important for patients and extremely lucrative for Vertex. But Jornovix didn't beat a placebo for sciatica in a phase 2 trial. The trial met its within-group primary endpoint, and of course Vertex emphasized this in its press release, but investors weren't buying it. Within-group results alone just don't cut it in clinical trials. The comparison to placebo is what matters, and the placebo arm improved almost the same amount as the drug, and the study wasn't powered for a direct drug versus placebo comparison. So that landed with a clunk, and investors were very disappointed. That New Yorker article understated this failure egregiously. Quote, "It remains unclear if Jornovix will be helpful with chronic pain, cancer pain, or neuropathic pain." Wow, really, really understating it there. Yes, it is unclear and quite unlikely with those results from that trial. But wait, there's more, or less. Other Jornovix caveats. Jornovix is also a bit slow. Opioids typically have a clear effect within a half hour and peak after a couple of hours, and Jornovix takes a couple of hours to even be noticeable. Vertex can't honestly put fast relief in the marketing. And this is a big one, it's expensive. Roughly $1,000 US for a month's supply, which is something like 10 to 15 times more expensive than the cheap like borscht weak opioids. The economics matter here, and it's difficult to overstate how much more they matter in the context of the opioid war, where it's not just the efficacy of opioids that will be traded in, but their truly greater affordability. While the safety profile looks pretty good so far, it's not perfect, and long-term safety is basically still unknown and hardly assured, which is normal for a new drug, of course, but still a consideration for the millions of people who will have prescriptions for this drug offered to them. Offered or rammed down their throats. You'll take this non-opioid and you'll like it. In the context of the opioid war, Jornovix could be disastrous because it will probably be overprescribed and its value overestimated simply because it's not an opioid. In a healthy healthcare system, that wouldn't be a profound statement, but we're in the middle of a vicious war on opioids and the people who actually need them, demonizing them as contemptible drug seekers, equating any need or usage with addiction. I wish I was exaggerating, but if anything, I'm understating how bad it has gotten. Here's a quote from David Manny in The Forgotten Casualties of the Opioid War. "We've swallowed the lie that anyone who uses opioids is just one step away from the gutter." That's a really good, terrifying article about the opioid war. Highly recommended. The systemic appetite for something, anything to replace opioids is at an all-time high, and that's saying something. There are now disastrously intense incentives to overlook any shortcomings of any drug that touts itself as an opioid replacement. In other words, this new drug is crack for prescribers right now to very deliberately use an absurdly apt, ironic metaphor. In case it wasn't clear, maybe I should have made this more clear. What I mean here is that people who need opioids because they're more effective are going to be given Jornovix instead in large numbers, and many of those cases are going to be tragic. So let's wrap this up. Jornovix is an interesting drug that likely has an important place in healthcare. I don't want to deny that. And there's still reasonable hope that this approach to analgesia, the whole channel blocking thing, will eventually produce something that we can take more seriously as an opioid replacement. But meanwhile, I won't be adding Jornovix to my list of what works for chronic pain because it doesn't. At least there's no evidence of it so far, and little reason to hope that that's going to change in the short term. So that's a lot of bad news about literally the first serious advance in analgesia in many years, and it really sucks. It's a serious disappointment that this next-generation painkiller, the result of so much hard work by so many very smart people, is just riddled with caveats. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time, whenever that is. I'm off to go celebrate my 22nd anniversary.